Hey, this is Nicholas Brendan. I play Xander on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And you're listening to Potential Cast. Hey, this is Nicholas Brendan.
This is the remix.
Go, Steph.
Oh, what was... Oh, my God.
You're listening to Potential Cast, Season 5, Episode 17, Forever.
Okay. Dawn
tries to resuscitate her dead mother, Joyce, after Willow's misguided attempt to give her some information on witchcraft.
It's a little late for resuscitation, don't you
Stephanie?
I'm Kimberly.
I'm not Gabby.
Gabby's not here. I'm Illyrio.
I'm Robin.
Hey. Robin.
I'm still Jimmy.
Jimmy!
Hi, peeps.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Well, okay, do you want to hear the... Okay, here he is.
Oh, go.
Unable to accept her mother's death, Dawn enlists Spike's help in gathering the ingredients needed to cast a spell to bring her mother back from the dead. And it's episode 17 of season 5.
Much better than what I said.
just as much to the point, though.
Yeah, agreed.
3 days later, Buffy tries to resuscitate Joyce. What are you saying?
But really, somebody, if I'm stealing this, I'm sure I saw a listener say that Buffy had her time with dealing with Joyce's loss. And this is where we see Dawn deal with her loss. Mm-hmm.
Yay, more Dawn.
A lot of Dawn. And really dumb Willow.
Yeah, really dumb Willow.
That was weird.
I thought that was a little out of character for Willow. Anyways, we'll get into it when we get into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, forget about it.
Forget about it.
We'll get there eventually.
Here we go. We go there when we want to go there. It's your show.
Jesus. Oh, man.
I'm gonna go away now.
Okay, so let's get started.
Let's.
All right. So in the what did they call it? The cold open, where Buffy is, I guess it was a fake out. We were supposed to think that Buffy was stalking a vampire mm-hmm. to stake, but she was picking out caskets.
Yeah.
In actuality.
Worst activity ever.
I don't ever want to have to do that activity.
Not fun.
Yeah. Just from personal experience, we just got to look at a catalog. She actually got to go inspect
it. No, there was no showroom.
No showroom. I mean, they have them, but I don't know. I think I was one step away from ordering a cardboard box. Those things are expensive.
Yeah.
I think we paid $4,000
uh-huh.
for something that
for a casket.
Goes in the ground.
Yeah, I don't want to go in a box. Just throwing that out there just so the internet will know forever.
You are not a cat.
Yeah.
I don't want to go in a box.
I told Christine, get me cremated and put me in one of those... sapling planters. They have like a tree sapling that's in a specialized planter that's both has soil and your ashes in it. And so you pick a spot, you plant the tree, and you nourish the tree. And so I will be in a tree
forever.
Forever. Oh. Hey, that's a cool segue.
Thank you.
Forever.
I just thought of it. I was actually a little proud of myself.
That was good.
That was very punny.
I can respect that.
Everybody likes a good pun.
Everyone.
Yeah. Everyone.
Or not.
Especially Robin.
I'm kind of over Dawn, guys.
Already?
I'm done with Dawn.
But her mommy's dead.
I think that in the beginning of this episode, Dawn still has a little bit of, you know, good conversations with Buffy at the funeral home and everything like that. But once the funeral happens, she immediately switches from Dawn back to Palmolive.
Yeah.
I think the worst is when she's pouting in Willow and Tara's room. I think that was probably where I was like, oh, come on.
Please get off my screen.
It's like you know, you're in their place, you know, be a little respectful. Don't be like, you know, I'm just going to make everything awkward and just pout on your floor.
Yeah, there was quite a lot of pouting, wasn't there?
Yeah. But everyone's going to be like, oh, she's grieving. Leave her alone. I don't know. Maybe I'm just really cruel.
Maybe.
I mean, I kind of get it. I kind of get the whole point of, you know, Dawn's grieving in this episode. You know, everybody's kind of focused on Buffy, and she keeps wanting to participate, but nobody will let her. So I kind of get that part of it, but the, you know, because you're magic, I should be able to bring my mom back. Pouting is, I think, a little over the top. Necessary, I guess, for the episode, but...
But the show is called Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Not Dawn the Whiny Sister.
Yeah, I want to... I know, but like it's so cruel, but I want everyone to get back into the rhythm of things. And I think that's the frustration that we're supposed to be feeling.
Is it?
I think so.
Buffy going through her beige arc?
I hope so.
Yeah, I'd rather she go back to wearing leather pants.
Yeah.
I'm sure lots of people would.
Yeah.
But I feel like this is the beginning of Buffy is not, and I mean, other than Dawn, Buffy is, can y'all hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Buffy is making the transition into young adulthood from teenage Buffy. And so I feel like after she makes this little transition, Gabby and Kim will enjoy the show more. It being a show about young adults instead of
kids,
adolescents. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, without saying anything specific, the rest of the series from this point forward is very, it takes a turn.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll always still be Buffy, I think.
Because, I mean, I feel like the only reason that Dawn was added to the cast was to keep hold of that adolescent fan base, or the adolescent viewership, to keep the teenagers watching.
You think so? Okay.
I don't know. That's interesting.
I think it was to keep new teenagers, probably, because we had all already grown up with Buffy by season 5. I think they were trying to grab new users by adding younger cast members.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And boy, did they do a bang up job with it.
I can't tell if that's sarcastic.
I guess you'll find out.
Cool. Is it a spoiler to say if they were successful?
I think so.
It's all subjective, right?
Robin can't find his glasses.
Yeah, hold on, wait, I'll be right back. I have to get mine.
Spoiler goggles.
I think if they tried to, there'd be more younger. We'd see like Dawn's crew.
Well, like Buffy babies?
Yeah.
Buffy
like there'll be a
babies.
Mini Xander and another mini Willow coming by. But
the bronze would be a preschool.
Yes.
So this episode was written by Marty Noxon.
Marty. This is before she was ruined by Torchwood.
That was
Jane Espenson.
Yeah, Jane Espenson.
Yeah, I was like, wait, she wrote for Torchwood?
I apologize. Marty, I'm being sexist. All women sound alike.
Marty Noxon last wrote on Glee.
Really?
A few seasons ago, she wrote for Mad Men. But, yeah. I don't know.
Point Pleasant?
I don't know how I feel about... Oh, I tried to watch that show.
I watched the pilot.
I couldn't figure out what it was.
What show are you talking about?
Point Pleasant.
Oh, okay. Never heard of it.
Yeah, I've never heard of that either.
Ooh, the Fright Night remake they did.
She wrote that. That's right.
I must say, I enjoyed the Fright Night remake for what it was.
I did too. Mm-hmm. I liked it.
Cool.
Wow,
she directed it too. I'm pulling a Brad Couples. I'm rewatching what we're talking about as we're talking about it.
Okay.
Over here on mute on the iPad. Willow looks so sad at that dinner table. Can we talk about that dinner table? The last time we saw that dinner table, Joyce was alive.
Aww.
And she was handing out food.
Talking about potluck.
That was probably the point.
Bobby!
Yeah. It's interesting how the significant others aren't there. Anya's not there. Tara's not there. Right?
That's it.
It's just the Scoobies and Dawn.
Just the originals. Yeah, and Dawn. Yeah. I was like, Dawn. It'd be so much better if Dawn wasn't there, but what are you going to do?
Oh, shit. This
wow,
is
but
the
Dawn
originals.
Is an original now.
Whoa.
So, Kim, you think Dawn was a Poochie?
Poochie
from The Simpsons, from Itchy and Scratchy. Wasn't his name Poochie, the dog they introduced?
Yeah,
I thought you meant the toy.
No, you know. Poochie, they introduced Poochie the dog. And he was all like surfer dude, and Homer did his voice.
Totally.
Yeah. Interesting.
Don't like her.
Yeah.
So one of the other things about this scene at the table here mm-hmm. that I was thinking about was how, you know, they still haven't heard from their father and they can't find him.
Mm-hmm.
They can't find him. That's weird.
How can you not find him?
He doesn't want to be found. I try to kind of ignore that because it's just kind of like a casting thing. It's like they probably they just couldn't make that make sense.
Mm.
Yeah. Weird.
Oh, Spike walking up the driveway with the flowers.
Oh, Spike.
And Xander gets all macho. We know what you're
doing. Douchey is more like it, but...
Yeah. Well, it turns out he's being douchey, because, I mean,
he's
granted...
He's threatened by him. Threatened by him.
You know, Spike has been doing manipulative things. Hey, look, Buffy, I'm not biting this person. Did you see? Did you see how I didn't bite this innocent person?
Because of the chip in my head?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't talked about that chip in his head for a while, have we?
Uh-uh.
It's still there.
And then we realized that Spike did not put a card on the flowers. He just wanted to leave flowers because he's going to miss his soap opera watching partner.
So what does that mean when Willow said he didn't leave a card?
Want credit. He wasn't doing it for credit. Okay. He wasn't doing it for Buffy points.
But who else were they going to think did it?
I don't know. Some random person who left flowers.
Yes.
Ted?
Ted is dead, baby. Ted is dead.
All of a sudden, Ted takes over the father role on Buffy.
Oh, my God. Ted and Dawn as father and daughter.
Who wants mini pizzas?
Yes.
And we've never
seen... Did I talk about last time about how James Marsters always says that it makes sense to him that Spike had such a soft spot for the Summers ladies because he loved Buffy, therefore he loved Dawn and Joyce.
Hmm. Well, I must say that I've never really... I've never been a fan of Spike. I've kind of been indifferent to him, but in this episode, I was like, "You go, Spike!" Mm. At the end, when he was helping Dawn, I was like, "Okay, that was a fist pump worthy moment for you, from me."
You did not like Spike, even in the early episodes, like when he was bad.
Because I thought it was put on. I know there's a lot of people that like him, and he's one of the fan favorites, but I never made that connection with the character until this episode.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I've been like, that's Spike. That's what he does.
Mm-hmm.
But when he said, I hope I'm not stealing anyone's quote, but when Dawn broke the first egg and then he went back and then she's like, I'm sorry. And he's like, well, don't be sorry. Like, basically, if you need accomplished a job, you know, don't be sorry. I was like, oh, way to go.
Yeah.
This paraphrasing.
The funeral.
This,
sorry, go ahead.
This era of Spike here for me is a confusing one. From like season 4 and season 5, it's I didn't really feel a whole lot for him when I very first watched. I liked him as the bad guy in you know, the earlier seasons, but this Spike I was kind of annoyed with mostly.
Hmm.
Originally. Now, 12 watches in, I like it, but.
But I think it's strange that I don't like Spike being a bad guy because I think it's fake, but when he's endearing, I like that. And it's the complete opposite with Angel. Complete opposite.
Hmm. I get it.
Speaking of Angel, surprise!
Yay!
Buffy sticks
around.
I didn't
know he was going to come. I didn't know until I watched the second time and neither it actually said special guest card. Special guest star David Boreanaz. I'm glad I didn't notice that the first time I watched it.
Oh, good. So you were surprised when he took her hand?
I was surprised.
Yeah, I was like, okay, did Joyce really say she didn't like Wakes? Or did Buffy just plan that? Because she knew her.
So she could be with Angel?
Yeah.
That'd be awesome if she did.
Well, I mean, she did say that they had the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So, I suppose she could have been lying to everybody, but yeah. Seems like it might be a little out of character.
Well, I think no matter what, Angel would have showed up as soon as the sun went down. So,
yeah.
So do you think that if Angel wouldn't have had his epiphany, that he still would have showed up?
I think he would have showed up.
I think he would have.
Because that's what, you know, Buffy's away from all the stuff that's going on in LA.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, he doesn't have to put on his big mopey face, you know.
I was trying to
be real.
If he would be able to tear himself away from the Darla drama had, you know, the epiphany not happened. Let's see how many times I can say this.
Epiphany.
Yeah.
No, but, I think, I'm sorry about what I said, but him not being real when it was being dark, he wasn't like putting on an act or anything. I think it would have been a good escape for him, though, to be able to focus on Buffy rather than his own troubles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point. Who are all those randos at the funeral?
Joyce's friends from the art gallery.
Joyce's
That's
friends
what
from
I was thinking.
Art world at Sunnydale. It looked like
Pat
everyone in Sunnydale
was there.
Who the
hell is Pat?
Some random woman with a baby.
Pat.
Had front row seats.
Xander looks so handsome.
Angel is always a handsome man, especially in the episode we'll be recording for Redemption Cast next. But can we talk about how long Buffy had to stand there waiting for the sun to go down?
In the exact same spot. We couldn't even move her shoes.
You know what I think? I think that was an effect.
What?
You think she's made it the background?
You saying
really,
they use movie magic?
You think they did something with the lighting? What?
Yeah.
I don't think they use special effects in this show.
Clearly, sometimes they don't.
It's definitely an artistic thing, but I can buy that Buffy was not standing in the same spot, but just stand, you know, hanging out there.
For
you know,
sure.
Upset.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the way that the funeral scene was shot, even though all those randos were there, and I had the exact same thought when we were looking at all those people, but I love the way that it was shot. The lighting was great, and the way that they did the pan and the zoom around, I thought it was a really nice send-off for Joyce.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm still hoping that she's coming back.
She could.
Well, I did see Pat holding a mask off in the corner. Oh, yeah. So.
I don't know. Okay. I just feel like Joyce isn't gone. I guess I don't know. I'm just hoping she's not.
But do we have to take you to the morgue so you can go and look at the body?
It's weird. She's not there. All right, let's move on.
Ace9K says that Point Pleasant was the bomb, and after they got canceled and Fox stopped airing it, it became and dropped the OC aspect, it became awesome.
Isn't that how it always is?
Yeah.
I apologize to the only Point Pleasant fan. I only watched the pilot, so it might have gotten awesome. I had no
idea.
This
is the first time I hear about Point Pleasant.
There you go.
Yeah, I've never heard about it.
People who made Point Pleasant made a TV show and it made it to TV, and I'm just a schmuck in Vermont.
All right, so while
he is a schmuck in Vermont.
That you have pretty babies.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, so while Angel and Buffy are there at the graveside, Don leaves with Willow and Tara.
Yep.
He goes to spend the night with me.
Where we have the worst scene of the entire episode.
Which one would that be, Jimmy?
All
get out, get out, get out. Oh, wait, this is your room.
Yeah, this was weird. Allison Hannigan looks all puffy.
Well, she's been crying all day.
Tara looks...
Or had an allergic reaction to plastic.
And Dawn looks like a robot. Maybe she is Ted's daughter.
Maybe.
Nice track pants on Willow.
That's where she came from. That's a good theory. Yeah.
Indeed. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, can we talk about this whole I'm not going to school, I'm not doing anything, you guys just leave me alone in your room idea?
Mm-hmm.
It's just weird. I'm a college student. I let you sleep over because your mom is dead. Go to school. Go to your sister. Go do something else.
Well, they've got guilt. But why would they feel guilty?
I guess it's making the point that Buffy should have been with Dawn. Buffy should. Yes. That's her responsibility, is taking care of her sister.
Rather than...
And Buffy's kind of shirking her responsibility right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think... I don't think so. It's like, I think they want to be friends, like to help Dawn out. I think everyone's walking on eggshells. I don't think that was the time for Buffy to be like, no, you're staying with me, you know?
Right.
Well, but it should have been the time where Buffy and Dawn came together, where, you know, they were there for each other. And it was showing that, you know, when Buffy was just like, yeah, if you want to go spend the night with them, you know, I guess it's okay. Meaning,
yeah, but Buffy's
that,
not going to say, I want you to stay here with me, Dawn. I need you to be here.
Well, no, she's not, but that's what Dawn wanted.
Good point.
Well, it's what Dawn needed. Right? Needed, I mean, can we agree that that's what Dawn needed?
Yeah, I think she just wanted
I think
wanted
she
to
wants to be left alone because she's confused and hurt and fragile, but she needed to be with her sister. Xander and Anya, post-coitus.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about this.
Yeah, that was a great scene because... And it wasn't there a scene where Willow was writing down everything that she and Tara was eating?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that and the scene with Anya and Xander after they had... Hey, I wrote... post-coital scene too. but anyway, death makes you appreciate life, and so that's what's going on with Anya and Xander and Willow and Tara. They're appreciating what they have together. So that was nice.
Agreed.
Okay.
I don't know.
I thought her speech was really sweet, though, and kind of out of character for her.
Who, Anya?
Yeah.
Well, but she's evolving.
That's
evolving.
Maybe out of character is the wrong phrase, but it kind of that's what I meant. It's she's starting to grasp a little more what it's like to be human.
Yeah.
Which I think is a good progression for her, because you know everybody seems to be kind of down on Anya thus far, and I think this is where she starts to, you know, she gets it.
Yes.
Yeah. She also gets Xander to flip out.
And as she's evolving and realizing what it is to be human, her relationship with Xander's evolving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Figuring out what it is.
But boy, he got
scared.
Yeah,
she can get it. Just turn into Don Meagle. Sorry about that.
It's against the against the natural order of things to mess with life and death. Tara warns against doing a spell. You can't alter fabric of life.
Right.
I it's funny, though, Dawn has a really good point here, that everything they do alters
the
natural order of things.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. So
this is a natural thing. This is a supernatural show. We have got to... we've got to cover this. We've got to say we do all kinds of supernatural things on this show. Why can't we bring somebody back to life?
Right.
Unless you're bringing them back to life as a vampire.
Yeah.
Mm.
But Dawn is so desperate that she will try anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's ignoring Tara's warnings.
But so is Willow, really. I mean, they're clearly disagreeing on this subject.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. I don't think Willow is pro-zombie Joyce.
I think she's pro-helping Dawn.
I think Willow wanted Dawn
whatever it takes
to think that she figured out for herself that it would be a bad idea. Right? Willow assumed that Dawn would look at the book, read all the warnings, and realize, oh, this is a bad idea. But that's not what's going to happen.
Exactly.
She's going to see the book. She's going to be like, hey, I can get my mommy back.
Exactly. I don't think she thought Dawn would take it that far.
God.
I definitely agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was, anyway, when I kind of realized the episode was taking this turn,
mm-hmm.
I got very apprehensive.
Yes.
The last thing I want to see is a zombie.
You're afraid you're going to see Joyce?
All right, the last thing I want to see is a zombie Christine Sutherland, because I think it would have ruined and diminished the previous episode.
Yes.
Exactly.
That's how I felt. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why I was really happy that we did not see her.
And I was thrilled with that final scene.
Yeah, I thought it was so well done.
It was
whoever was walking by the window and the shadow went
by. In a Joyce wig.
I was like, oh no, oh no.
Yeah.
Like even if Dawn hadn't destroyed the photo in time and Buffy got a glimpse of her and we didn't see her,
mm-hmm.
the look on the horror that Buffy would have experienced, the look on her face, I didn't want to see that. I'm glad that nobody saw it.
Yeah.
So glad.
I love the fact that it, you know, as much as we can dislike Dawn, she actually ends up being the strong one at the end.
Yeah.
You know? But it's great that our main character is so flawed that she'd just be like totally against it and all of a sudden realize, oh my God, she's here. I can't resist that.
But that was Buffy's weakest moment in front of Dawn, because she was crying and she was actually letting her emotions mm-hmm. show. And of course she would be like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that whole final scene, that final line, you know, which is the same line that from the beginning of the body,
mm-hmm.
Is the way that they end that with that. It started with that line and it ended with that line.
Yeah.
And I think that was a great way to tie this all together.
Mm-hmm.
Right. When Buffy said previously, I'm Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Sorry if I stole anybody's quote.
Damn it!
Okay, back up to where Buffy and Angel are under the tree.
K-I-S-S-I-N-G.
Opening presents?
You said they're under the tree, sorry.
Oh.
That was Christmas song something.
Well, Buffy's telling Angel that she doesn't want to be a grown-up. Mm-hmm. And then they talk about if she just got there 10 minutes earlier.
Mm-hmm.
We hear their love theme.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Da, da, da.
Da, da,
da. Somebody knows that love theme very well.
Very well. But anyway.
This scene where they kiss and they have that, well, you know, there's that look that Angel gives after they kiss. Mm-hmm. And it's really funny because something that I had never really thought about before is the fact that "I will remember you" happened.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ah,
and
yeah.
He remembers it, but she does not.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so he even, in this moment where all of a sudden she's, you know, kind of falling back into his arms for that brief moment, he still knows that they had that chance, yeah, that they had that opportunity, and you can kind of see it in his face.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never really noticed it or really thought about it before.
Yeah.
He's also probably thinking to himself, okay, so how happy am I right now? Can I do this? I thought it's a little the only thing that makes it a little weird for me is the, mm-hmm, fact that, you know, I wonder if Angel's like, just bang Darla like last night. Should I say anything about it?
Yeah.
Only if she gives me shit, then I'll throw it in her face.
Yeah. But that would be the perfect time to say.
As my iPad has reminded brave. Me. As my iPad has just reminded me, it's time to talk about Ben the Doofus.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about those two.
Yeah.
Ben is tracked down by Jinx, Glory's... Glory's henchman. And Ben performs his duty as a television sitcom co-star and says, "I'll never tell you who she's an innocent." Okay,
puppy, people. Puppy, innocent and then, puppy.
And then I accepted that because it appeared that Ben had killed Jinx. Was I the only one that thought he, yes, killed Jinx?
It's really weird. Why did they have him maim him if they didn't have him go ahead and...
My initial,
well, I think he thought he was dead.
My initial understanding is
that...
He thought he killed him. He's a doctor!
He's a doctor!
He's not a doctor. He's not a demon doctor.
He's mostly dead.
Maybe they have two hearts, like Doctor Who.
Oh, living in just one mind.
But why? Why was he waiting in the bushes for Ben if Glory sent him? Wouldn't he just hang around until they switch forms?
Yeah. That's a good answer to that question, Steph.
No.
I'm struggling to remember 2 weeks ago. Isn't it the fact that Ben knows about?
It's the fact that Ben has been courting Buffy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what makes Glory send Jinx out to find him. But it's not like they live in two different houses or anything, so.
No, they live in the same body. So wouldn't he just sort of hang around and then he switch and be like, "Hey, buddy, you're..." Sister, in air quotes, says this.
Well, I got you here. before you go to work, can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm. Can you just write her a note and put it on the
Weird.
That's fun, though. I don't get them.
So, Joel Grey, guys. What did you think about him?
Wow.
I like him.
Remind me what else he's been in, Robin.
He's Jennifer Grey's dad.
What? He's really? Been in Jennifer Grey's mom, apparently.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
He was the original wizard in Wicked.
Wicked. Yeah.
Wasn't he big in the Cabaret?
That
was
Cabaret.
Master of Ceremonies.
I think he's mostly known for Broadway, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was in Alias for a moment, as I don't know if anybody has ever watched Alias, but he was like the Arvin Sloan clone or something like that.
Hmm. I watched like the first season and a half, I think. I haven't.
Something like that. Weren't there like 14 seasons of that show?
Five.
Okay. I was really surprised when I started watching it. I thought it was something I was going to get through in, like, you know, a couple of days. And I was like, oh my God, there's five seasons.
Yeah.
Oh, this is one show that I've always wanted to, like,
rewatch.
That's how
I felt about Supernatural last summer. What?
Oh, Supernatural.
There are this many episodes?
Yeah. Supernatural is amazing.
Of course it is. It
yeah, but if, you're one, if you want to try and catch up on Supernatural, it's a very, very daunting task.
Yes, that's true.
Oh my gosh. That's right. He was, Chune in Remo Williams, The Adventure Begins.
Really?
Remo Williams' master. He played Asian.
So, okay, let's talk about Doc.
That's what we're just talking about.
I know, but let's talk about his character.
Oh.
Is he senile?
No, he's a
that's
demon.
Dopey.
But he has a tail, right?
Yeah, because he's a demon.
He said that he knew Spike, but he had different hair. He hung around down. That didn't make any sense. I couldn't understand that.
Maybe he can see like past and like the past and the future, and he was seeing William because he had different hair.
Oh, maybe
that's what I was trying to. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But didn't he say he was on? What was he doing? Playing a chess or something?
Oh, maybe
dominoes.
Maybe he's dominoes. Just been around for so long that he knew him before he was a vampire.
Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming Doc's a recurring character if he's got a name.
No. Other characters have names.
This is
true.
They
didn't,
just for one episode.
We probably shouldn't assume.
We introduced it to Doug Sanders during the episode of Angel.
We're not talking about that right now.
Oh, I'm just saying, it's a character that has a name.
Well, and they all
I don't mean that because they didn't say his name.
No, and the only reason I know that it's Doc is like from IMDb or something.
Yeah.
No, it in the credits in the beginning it said Joel Grey is Doc.
Oh, that's fine. That. Okay.
Because I noticed that again the second time around because I noticed it said Brianis, and I was like, oh, okay, so if he's got a name and so and so as some such and such,
mm-hmm.
I guess he's a recurring character. We'll see him again. Sunglass time? Okay.
I can't give away spoilers on this show. I can tell you Kate won't be back.
Susu Sudia. I don't know, Robin. Let's just say that the point at which Dawn tries to DIY her mother's resurrection and Spike shows up was pretty neat.
Just in the nick of time.
Just in the nick of time. And then
it's
here
like
I am
was
thinking
watching her.
Spike is gonna, you know, talk her out of it, all this stuff. He's going to encourage this.
Well, he likes
her
Joyce.
To see how stupid it is. Well, I hope so.
No, I think he just likes Joyce and he would like to have her back.
I think he just believes that Dawn should be able to make her own decisions.
That's asinine. She's a child.
I think it's any reason for Spike to be around any Summers person.
What are you doing?
I think Stephanie's doing Pilates. Stephanie's doing Pilates right now.
All of a sudden, I just saw your knees.
My back is killing me.
Stephanie's doing Pilates. Can't believe Gabby
That's
missed that.
That's why I turned my camera off.
That's half the fun.
That's funny. Oh, did anyone recognize the piece of music that Giles was listening to while he was having a drink? It was the same record that he was listening to.
Yeah, it was the same song that he was listening to with Joyce when during Band Candy.
Yep.
Aww. Little did you know that when you rewatched and drank over your rewatch of Band Candy, mm-hmm. that it would be one last romp with Giles and Joyce.
Yep.
Yeah, I read, I think it was on Wikipedia maybe, that that Giles had to keep it together when he was with Buffy. He had to be the responsible one and take care of business, what needed to be taken care of. But when he was alone at home, that's when he, showed his weakness mm-hmm. and yeah. remembered Joyce and Martha.
Uh-huh. That's what grown men do, man. We pull out the liquor and we pull out the vinyls. I mean, that's what we do.
Really?
Really?
Yep.
I got a good Pat Benatar one I can sob to.
I actually have a couple of Pat Benatar on vinyl.
But this was Cream's Tales of Brave Ulysses. That's the song.
Sure.
I'll take your word for that. I knew it was the same song. Would have never known. mm-hmm. Mm.
Poor yeah. Giles.
Well, and nobody cares that Giles lost Joyce.
That's cool.
Well, there's everybody a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that not only the viewers didn't know about, but I'm sure some of the kids didn't either. Hey, Juice Newton, come on over here. I got a book to go through, if you know what I mean. What? Librarian sexy talk.
Okay. I was like, did they have a book? What?
My underwear has an expiration date. It's due to be returned any moment. That's terrible.
Oh,
this is really being recorded.
Yep. And broadcast live. We have 13 lines, viewers Robin. That just witnessed that, Robin. Hi, everyone.
Yeah, and then this stays on YouTube forever.
Yeah, or until I delete it.
Okay.
Which I'm not going to do.
Okay, and then there's this action scene where Dawn is about to build an egg for a demon.
I don't know who this Cylon is, but apparently...
I think she's talking,
we're talking
about
the egg.
Okay.
The action scene.
The action scene.
The action.
Well, before that, what's with Glory pulling her hair out?
Because she's crazy.
And what's with that artwork behind that chair that she puts Jinx in?
Because she's crazy.
No, but it looks like the host from Keratos is in it. Next time you guys...
Interesting that you noticed that.
It looks just like him, actually.
Well, now I feel like I have to look it up.
Anyway... Oh, Buffy Summers commented on the YouTube.
This is why I need to be watching the episode while we're podcasting too.
Buffy Summers commented on the YouTube. I remember that Alias storyline. So Buffy watched Alias.
Yes.
Cool.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that is some weird art.
Oh, you're actually looking at the art. Can you show me the art?
Well, it's in. It's I'm. Come on. I'm 29 minutes into the episode. You'll see the art a little bit before then, too. It's when Jinx gets brought in. It looks kind of funky. It's a weird mural thing. Yeah, so this Doc character is weird.
Yeah. What kind of demon is he?
Do we
is
know?
Is he a demon?
I'm pretty sure he's got a tail, so I assume so.
Is those doll's eyes?
Yeah, I saw the tail, and I was like, that's
black
gross.
Eyes like doll's eyes. And It was weird. I thought it was weird that Spike was able to walk in without being invited, and then it made sense. He's not human. So that's why Spike was able to just walk in.
Or does he live there, or is was that his house or his place of business?
It looks like a house because he has a cat and he has books all over the place.
And he was in his underwear, wasn't he?
He was in a bathrobe.
Oh, yeah, he was in a robe. Coat. That's right.
He might as well be Arthur Dent, but older.
42.
I think he's older than that. He's tiny. It's like Dawn size. Ridiculous.
He is a very itty bitty man.
Itty bitty man. Yeah, so I thoroughly enjoyed that. It creeped me out. That guy creeped me out. I really enjoyed that.
Which is so funny because that's kind of the antithesis of Joel Grey. You know, Joel Grey, I picture sweet, you know, cuddly old man, and he kind of has that persona at the beginning, and then all of a sudden he's super creepy, which. Good on you, mate. Good for doing it, right?
Totally.
Oh, here's a good piece of trivia. If any of you potentials wanted to pick up and play through the Buffy Xbox game Chaos Bleeds, that game takes place between this episode and the next.
Oh my god.
Okay.
Just between those two episodes?
I have no idea, but I was just looking through trivia for
that's
this.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That game, along with watching Fido? Is that a movie about zombies?
Yes.
I played Chaos Bleeds and I watched Fido and I had terrible nightmares and I never have nightmares.
I can honestly say that I have never played any of the Buffy video games.
Me neither.
I have.
I feel like maybe I should go back and try it, but I feel like it would be a disappointment.
Really? Yeah.
I was annoyed that like pretty much every voice actor showed up for their roles on the video game except for Sarah Michelle Gellar, and the controls were ridiculous.
Yeah, it wasn't fun. Okay, are we at the point where Tara realizes the book's missing?
Sure.
And tells Buffy to warn her.
Definitely happens at some point. I'm not sure if we're there yet, but definitely
okay.
Quite crazy.
I didn't like that scene between her and Willow.
Because Willow was lying?
Yeah
that was weird.
So... And she was bumbling and I was like, oh God, this is so annoying. Both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I find throughout this episode that Willow is out of character for how we know her.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Well, both her and Spike seem to be in support of at least Dawn making her own choice in this. Then there's other people who are like, well, hold on a second. You can't do that. It's just wrong.
Yeah.
I actually, just to jump back to Doc for a second, I have a note here that he warns her that that Joyce may not come back right.
Yeah.
And everybody seems to be okay with that.
Yeah, I am not.
Well, Tara kind of tells her that too, that if they don't, the spells don't always go as planned or something like that. But I think Dawn, you know, just being a teenager, she doesn't care. She's not thinking about the consequences.
No, she just wants her mom back.
Just wants her mom back any way possible.
Mm-hmm.
Spike and Dawn go to the sewers.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all this fighting. And she drops the egg, really?
Of course! That made me so irritated.
Like, I already had to watch this, and I have to watch it again.
So Dawn.
She has huge hands, though, for a little thing.
You know what
that
means.
You took from this episode.
Yeah, huge gloves.
I won't say this is being recorded forever.
Yep. And Dawn's got her candles and cauldron and her circle of whatever. And there's Joyce's picture. Although Joyce in that picture looked a little confused. Anyone else think so?
She had a confused look on her face.
No, it's like only half her face was smiling. Weird. Guys, seriously. It looked like her teeth were smiling, but her eyes were sad.
Oh.
It was one of those.
Well, it's
she wasn't smiling. Tyler would say.
A headshot? Is that what those are called?
Yes.
You know? I'm like, you know, so she was definitely smiling because she's like, God, I need a job.
That's hilarious.
Sorry, I had to.
Oh, yeah, here's another thing. Did you guys notice that when we first encounter Doc, when Spike and Don go into his apartment, he's actually whistling from Peter and the Wolf.
Really?
Yeah, I used to love that. I don't know, I think it's Tchaikovsky.
Think
as
so.
A kid, I used to play that all the time because I don't know. I think I had a Peter the Wolf cartoon I was into or whatever.
Nice.
But it's just, you know, it ups the creep factor just a bit.
For sure. Well,
I can't say that I know Peter and the Wolf well enough to have known that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just me. Factoids.
So Tara and Willow are fighting. Just so you guys know. And it's all because Willow let Dawn have the book. And Tara's upset. Uh-huh. And they both have hurt expressions on their face.
Well, I still think that Tara doesn't think Willow understands how powerful magics can be.
I don't know. I still feel like Willow's the more powerful witch.
Well, I think Willow has the potential to be the more powerful witch.
What? Can I get a what?
But I think Tara knows more.
Mm-hmm. You think so?
But I think Willow will eventually become more powerful than her, yes.
Hmm.
I think Tara has a better understanding of magic than
a fear, a respect.
Hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Oh shit, potentials don't play Chaos Bleeds. Never mind. It has some spoilers for upcoming stuff. Yeah, sorry.
No worries. Not going to.
So stop your order right now.
I'm not ordering it. I'm not allowed to order anything for 6 months. It's okay.
Yikes. Sorry.
It's all right.
We're going to be done in 6 months with the whole thing? What?
No, I'm not allowed to order anything off Amazon for 6 months. All is well.
What did you get?
Huh?
What did you get?
Nothing. I'm just not allowed to order anything.
What was the straw that broke Camel's back?
Yeah.
Not answering?
Yeah. No. He's trying to find his sunglasses.
Darn right.
All right.
So Buffy shows up, and we get a knockdown, drag out confrontation. Metaphorically speaking, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, this is clearly the best scene of the episode.
Oh my god, yeah. It took forever to get here. But when it did, very, very, very happy.
Yeah, great scene.
Buffy's great, like, what are you doing? Don's all like, I'm running away. Oh,
I didn't
man.
Light no candles. I don't know what you're talking
about. I don't
about.
Know what you're talking about.
What's going on here?
Now, here's the thing, guys. I'm watching the episode right now, and Dawn runs down the stairs. Buffy chases after her, holding Joyce's picture. They left the candles alight upstairs.
Oh.
You're not supposed to leave candles unsupervised.
Well, if there's a zombie mom coming at your house, I think the candles are probably the least of your worries.
Agreed. Agreed. I've done that before. I left a candle burning I knew it was burning, but I was like, I'm going to be back in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And my, when I lived at home, my mother had a fit. What? I was like, it's only gone 10 minutes. The house going to burn down in 7. And I was like, okay.
Really?
Well, the whole house probably not 7, but the whole room probably in 7, yeah. Sure.
And you know it's worse than fire damage.
In 7 minutes might have started something that could not be stopped.
Yes.
Worse than fire damage is firefighter damage, because they don't give a shit. Yes. You interrupted their game of dominoes, Kim. They're going to destroy whatever room the fire is in, if not the whole house. We were watching our stories. And your carelessness means...
How dare you interrupt my Young and the Restless.
Damn right.
They work out a lot.
Firefighters?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what firefighters you've been looking at lately, but...
Only the ones that go to appear in the calendar.
Season. Exactly. 12 per year workout.
I don't know, guys.
That's in the ER. They are...
Yeah. Most of the firefighters here are pretty buff.
Or Montreal.
Mm-hmm. Good for us. So.
So Dawn thinks Buffy's avoiding her.
Yeah.
But Buffy says that Dawn doesn't understand the pressure that she's under to be responsible. Who's going to take care of us?
Which is true.
That was so sad, that scene.
Yeah. Well, that's the feeling. Like, holy shit, what happens now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, really, what happens now? Shit. And you're like, stuck in this.
Also in a little bit in the first scene where even though Dawn was kind of mumbling to herself, she's like, well, what do we do after the funeral? Just come back here? Like, we're going to live here?
Yeah.
Right.
I think they should get a condo. Are they going to move into a condo, Robin?
I'm sorry, move to a condo?
Yeah.
A castle. They're going to move to a castle.
No.
I think Giles is going to move in with them.
No.
No.
No. Oh, crap. What happens when Olivia comes to visit?
Yeah.
His sexy time friend.
Sexy time.
I think he'll keep his bachelor pad for his, relations. But I think he'll move in.
No, there's no way he's moving in. what might happen is Willow and Tara move in.
No! What, they're all gonna move in? Xander and Anya too?
Oh they're my god, Buffy just slapped on. Can we talk about the slap?
They're gonna build an addition.
We have to talk about
Spike's
the slap.
Spike's gonna move in.
Spike will move in, yeah.
For some reason, this podcast is as long as the episode of Buffy. I wonder what that is.
Quiet, you. This is fun because there's stuff I forget to write down, like the slap. I forgot to write down the slap.
Yeah.
That was awesome. The slap was great.
And it was well deserved.
Darn right. Little shit.
For the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
Palm Olive was blowing way too many bubbles.
Yeah.
I want to slap her just because I don't like her, but she also needed to be, like, knock some sense into her. It's not all about her.
Yeah.
It's not.
Well, right, but, so, everybody uses this this excuse on me, on my particular podcast. She's just a teenage girl, and teenage girls, are apparently annoying.
Yes.
Yeah.
What? Oh, wait, Steph, go ahead.
Steph, what happened before the podcast? You needed some earbuds and...
And there was a slap. There was an F word, and then...
The F word.
Wow.
That is the worst of all the words.
The filthiest mouth I've ever
heard. That's my favorite word.
Not coming out of a 15-year-old girl.
Fornicator. Oh my god, it's Zombie Joyce's silhouette. There's gonna be a knock at the door. And there's the line that I cannot say because it might be someone's quote. When Buffy turned around and said what she said,
and she was scared,
almost lost it. because
I did what I did an audible. I was like, ugh.
I was like, no, Buffy, this is bad. This is not good. I don't want to see Zombie Joyce. What's going on?
And but then, in that moment, that nowhere, was her mother at the door.
Out, yes, of nowhere, Dawn becomes my favorite person. Not
well.
It's a temporary feeling. It went away. Because, yeah, then Harmony was my favorite person for a while. We'll get to that eventually. But Dawn became my favorite person because even though her stupidity and naivety and ignorance got us into this shit, she pulled the plug.
Mm-hmm.
And I am very pleased.
And
yeah,
I kept trying to run through the reasoning of why she pulled the plug. And I never came to a specific conclusion. Was it because Buffy has now taken on the motherly role? Like she said, I have to be the mom. And so with that,
I think it's because Dawn and Buffy, there was a misunderstanding. They did not understand each other's motivations. And they finally had it out and told each other how they were feeling. And their conflict was resolved. So Dawn did not feel like she had to have her mother back. Mm. I don't know. But it made sense in a way to me. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm glad that she did it because somebody, you know, clearly Buffy wasn't strong enough to have done it in that moment.
Yeah.
But I do have a little bit of a hard time figuring out what the resolution was that happened there, but I guess it doesn't really matter at the end of the day.
I think it's one of these, I really want a dog, I really want a dog, I really want a dog, I really want a dog. Oh, I have to walk it twice a day and pick up its poop?
Ugh. Yeah, because who knows where Zombie Joyce is going to poop.
I think it's more of a situation of Dawn thinks she wants her mother back at all costs, and then when it becomes very close to being a reality, she panics and just quits.
Yeah, I think she heard that creepy doc guy say, she's not going to be what you want her to be. She's going to be different, and she's going to be frightening. I think that kind of...
All of a sudden, that all hit her?
Yeah. I'd like to think that she was mature enough in that moment, but hey, it's a good thought.
I'll roll with that.
Uh-huh. Thanks.
Well, this, the idea for this episode was taken from The Monkey's Paw by W.W. Jacobs as a short story.
Hmm. Sure.
And a Treehouse of Horror.
Yeah.
Was that a Treehouse of Horror story?
Well, not originally.
I hope everyone watching is paying attention to Robin's lower thirds.
I wish I could change my lower thirds.
I'm not into changing mine as much because I'm having fun reading Robin's. So, yeah, Dawn, who was responsible for all of this ridiculousness, pulls the plug on it. And then there's the massive hug and cry of supreme intensity happening with the door wide open. Very classy, ladies. Very classy.
So anybody can come in and take part.
Let me tell you, I live in a house with two children under 8. If that front door is left open by anyone, people get an earful.
Why? Because they're letting in a draft?
No, because I don't want my 4-year-old who has a tendency of walking off and not telling us she's playing hide and seek to go outside.
I immediately, I mean, when you guys are talking about them leaving the front door open while doing the hug and cries, I immediately think of Spike as one of the Roxbury guys out in the street going, you
me? Oh, that's hilarious.
What is love, guys?
What is love? Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, damn right. All right. Is there any way
that
we're going to be able to do Redemption Cast tonight? Just asking.
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, let's wrap this up.
Okay, let's wrap it up and do it. So let's do some feedback real quick.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I posted a feedback thread a couple weeks ago.
I have an email to read here from Heidi.
Okay.
What did they have to say?
Hi, Heidi.
Heidi. Heidi said, "Hey, Gax, I feel so bad for everyone in this episode, all trying to cope with their own grief and trying to help Buffy and Dawn as well. It's such a nice touch that Giles listens to the music that he enjoys listening to in Band Candy. Willow is so confused, half wanting to try the resurrection spell herself. She makes such a poor choice leaving that book for Dawn to find and then never admitting it to Tara. Although she is such a terrible liar, I don't know how she didn't figure it out. I like that Angel showed up so we could hear some of what Buffy is feeling. I totally get the needing to be strong for everyone around you, and I can see how Dawn would interpret that as Buffy being closed off. I like Spike helping Dawn and that he's not doing it out of an ulterior motive regarding his crush on Buffy. I do think it's weird that he just leaves her alone to do the spell, though. It's very difficult to watch, but it's nice that we get this resurrection plot. We know that magic isn't the answer to everything, and that there are consequences for this type of magic. I'm so glad that Dawn reversed it, and we didn't see Zombie Joyce. And that Buffy and Dawn were able to connect in the end. This episode got me really weepy this time. Heidi."
Thanks, Heidi. I agree.
That's the only email we got.
Ah, okay.
About this episode.
I'm assuming Facebook's going to work one of these days.
Oh, well, Facebook was down today, weren't they?
Yeah, you couldn't do any comments.
Or post likes. Anything.
Or post or post anything.
Scroll.
I found it.
Go, Steph.
You found the thread?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Hold on, it's thinking. Hold on. Okay. Rachel Horn says, "I know many people love that Spike brought flowers for Joyce. Personally, I hate it. He's a soulless vampire. He's not William. His body is filled with an even human nature. We can forgive his crappy, smoothly feelings for Buffy because he thinks he loves her, but having emotional feelings for Joyce is ridiculous and goes against all vampire lore. The same is also true about his sentimentality and protectiveness towards Dawn. Otherwise, there is nothing special about Angel having a soul. Grr. Luckily, the break in production between this episode and the next set of episodes, in terms of story and the viewers' emotions, I think it was a good call." Okay, Rachel says smooshy, not smoothly.
Okay. Well, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. Jason Abel says, "No, he's not William. He's Spike. That doesn't mean he's incapable of emotions. It just means those emotions are so easily turned to darkness. Everything we know about demon lore is that demons run a broad spectrum. And Spike has always been rather unique in the emotions department. Also bunnies. Rachel Horn says, "If he is capable of love, kindness, protection, and selflessness, it kind of makes being evil a choice, meaning that Angel is just a..."
What the hell is that?
Oh my god, what the fuck is that?
Uh-oh.
You okay, Kim?
Sorry, I gotta go check what out happened in my apartment.
Just don't invite them in.
They're here.
Oh, okay. Something just fell off the counter. That's fine.
Thank God. No vampires?
Scare the shit out of me.
They can't get in.
Okay, Rachel Horn says, "If he is capable of love, kindness, protection, selflessness, it kind of makes..." Wait a minute. Where am I at? Okay. Okay, here we go. Rachel Horn says, "If he is capable of love, kindness, protection, selflessness, it kind of makes sense it kind of makes being evil a choice, meaning that Angelus is just a frame of mind rather than a soul demon. The soul has to account for more than just grumpiness, in my opinion.
Hmm.
All right, Jason counters with...
Really? Are we going to get rid of this whole argument?
I don't think William's human soul is making any kind of choice. I think Spike's demon soul is. And not all demon souls are the pitch blackness of Angelus. They've established from season 2 that Spike's demon is very demon from, is very different from angels. Yes, it defies
nice.
The things Giles told us in season 1, but we've seen the proof for 4 years, and particularly on Angel for 2. Giles was simply wrong, just as he was wrong about vampires being nothing like its human host.
Thanks, Robin.
Sylvia says, the scene at the end with Buffy and Dawn absolutely kills me every time I watch it. Maybe because I'm the youngest in the family and it just makes me imagine how terrible it would be for both my sister and I to lose our mom at any age. Mm. And what would we do in that situation, which of course is so absolutely devastating and depressing. My favorite part of the scene is right before Joyce knocks on the door. You can just see so many emotions on SMG's face. Fear, relief, happiness, hope, and then the initial realization and shock that unfortunately she and Dawn are it, and their mom is not coming back. When they both drop to the ground and cry into each other's shoulders at the very end, I'm a goner, and I always cry right along with them. Ina says, me too, Sylvia. I can't. I like Forever well enough, and it focuses on Dawn's reaction to losing her mom, but it feels like a step down from the body. In all fairness, most episodes would.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Doc character, and I always have to laugh at the three-headed demon. It looks so incredibly fake. I believe that Spike would feel something about Joyce's death. They became friends over the years. Well, she hit him in the head first. Then they bonded over hot chocolate and marshmallows. I think vampires without souls can feel a lot of things. As Jules said in Crush, we can love quite well, if not wisely.
Awesome. Thanks, everyone. We have a comment from Val. And here it is. Love the Buffy Dawn scene, too, and how Buffy kind of turned into a little kid when she turned around with hope and said the M word.
Oh.
Sad.
Listen, Val, you gotta leave that man. You gotta leave him. He is treating you awful. You don't deserve that. Oh, we're not doing Love Line. Damn it.
And yes, I do pronounce it moustache. Okay? Because it's a moustache. Right, Kim?
Yep.
Yep. Thanks for your feedback, everyone. We really appreciate it. I think it's time we rate the episode. Jimmy?
I like this episode for the most part. I like it because it pulls everything together. It's the end of, you know, a terrible kind of arc there. but I'm going to give it 8 out of 10... sex monkeys.
Sex monkeys?
Yeah, why were there so many monkeys in that scene? I don't get it.
Maybe because it's based on that monkey short story?
Hmm.
Oh, the monkey's paw. Oh, good point.
Maybe.
Lots of monkeys.
I'm always thinking.
Kim?
I enjoyed this episode even better on the second viewing because usually I don't give the episodes a second viewing because I watch it 5 minutes before we start recording. But I did enjoy it even though I'm over Dawn. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just me. I'm going to give it oh yeah. 8 out of 10 sneaky backpack ladder tricks.
Wow, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Eight. Yeah, maybe Probably not. I'll give it, yeah, 8. I don't want to give it a 9 because the other episode, the previous episode was much better. 8.
I didn't like this episode.
No?
There was way too much that made me go, really? Come on! And at the end, although I appreciated Buffy's emotional, turn on her heels and hope that Zombie Joyce was coming through the door, and I really liked that Dawn pulled the plug. Willow's involvement, Spike's involvement, I like the character Doc, but, you know, Giles' scene was nice. I'm sorry, I'm giving this episode maybe 6.5 out of 10 rotten dinosaur eggs. Did not enjoy most of it. Oh, and Ben spilling the beans. 6 out of 10 rotten dinosaur eggs.
Yeah. But I get that. That was all just a ruse for what's her face to find Glory to find out that the key's a person.
Ugh.
They had to progress the story somehow.
Somehow.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good bookend to the body. It was kind of horrific to think that they might actually bring her back from the dead. And it was really touching, the last scene. What else? Joel Grey is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, the great forehead stopped by. So I was very happy about that, seeing him again on Buffy. The last time we saw him was in the Yoko Factor. So it's good to see, you know.
The Great Forehead?
Yeah, the Great
David
Forehead.
David Boreanaz.
Oh, yeah. My God. What?
I missed that scene. So, the Dawnness gets annoying, but I think besides the scene in Willow and Tara's room, I really don't mind Dawn as much, and I think Michelle Trachtenberg is kind of controversial, but I think she's a pretty good actress. I think she's starting to really get into her character and understand things about her. Especially going through the body and, you know, bringing that character through that. So I think she's got a better understanding of it. And it gets terribly annoying at times, but still, I mean, at least she's consistent. But she's completely out of character.
I chalk it up to the writing more than the actress.
Yeah. So I'm giving it 8 out of 10 stuffed animal dances.
I kind of wanted to see that.
That was my other rating system.
Well, I mean, I think that the acting, especially the last scene, was very, very good. And I enjoyed the episode as a whole, but the zombification of Joyce is just that's just tacky to me. The idea of making Joyce a zombie is just distasteful. Especially like Lirio said, especially it cheapens the body.
Yeah.
So
I thought they were gonna do it. I did. I was like, oh no, they're not going to, but they must.
Isn't that off? Just a blatant ripoff of a short story, of a very famous short story. That's kind of tacky. Mm. So I give it 7 out of 10.
Really,
what's my rating system? Consistently referred to episode titles.
How's the other one? Nothing.
Oh. Are we done?
I think that's all of us. I expected Gabby to pipe up, but she's not here. Well, she's putting out that's what we thought. We'd like to hear what you think. You can send us an email at
potentialcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, you can call us 27040-BUFFY. You can follow us on Twitter at potentialcast. Go to potentialcast.com. We release the show notes. And you can go to the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/potentialcast. Hey.
Do it.
I think it's quote time. Quotey Bambody.
I think we all have the same quote, don't we?
Nope. I do not have that quote.
Nope. I don't have that one.
Because I'm not a jerk.
I would never steal your quote.
I only do one quote an episode, guys. I'm sorry.
All right, Kim, you go last. No, I mean first.
You guys go.
No, I was joking.
I go have first. Another one.
Oh. No, you go.
All right, I'll go. I can stay in town as long as you want me. How's forever? Does forever work for you?
All right, I'm going to go with Anya. Ring up sales? With the money? She gets to fondle the money?
I had an Anya quote as well. She's like, no, I'm not threatened.
Go, Illyria.
I'm determining. An innocent? The key? That's an interesting choice of words. Oh, Jinx.
Jinxie.
Breathe, you're turning colors. I'm not ready to make life with you, but I could. We could. Life could come out of love and our smushing, and that's beautiful. And it all makes me feel like we're a part of something bigger, like I'm more awake somehow, you know?
Oh, so creepy.
That was lovely. Lovely in a silly
our
way.
Our smooshing.
Ugh. Smooshing, yeah.
Just gives a shudder down my spine.
All right, I got another one. I mean, wait. No, it's not that. It's just, what if she'd like something else better? I mean, how do we know for sure? She's the one who has to be in it forever.
Forever?
Those are the only times that word's used in the episode. Only 3 times.
Like 10. Seems like every scene.
It's not Epiphany.
Yeah, no, Epiphany had way more.
How can I not? You haven't even cried. You've just been running around like it's some big chore or something, cleaning up after Mom's mess. Smack!
I have to do Willow. You had 2 eggs sunny side up. I remember they were wiggling at me like little boobs. Sassy eggs.
Oh my gosh. I have to do another angel quote. And it's really funny because it makes me think of what happened in Reprise and Epiphany. His first line on Buffy coming back here is, "I'm sorry, I couldn't come sooner."
You're a terrible human.
I think you offended Stephanie because she left. She got over it.
Hilarious.
So, guys, I liked it.
Nice.
Do you want to know what's coming up next?
Hey, Steph, what's next on the coming up thing?
Intervention. Now,
is there a spoiler on that, Steph? Is that what you're holding
it
that way?
Is this where they all tell Dawn to get over it? That would be great.
Get over it, all right.
She's only been your mother for 6 months. Hey.
Snap out of it!
You can act like a man!
I'm just just spit nose up. Why not my nose? God, nose so up my terrible. Wine, whatever.
I like this episode, and I hope that next week is just as good.
Yeah. Hey, Jimmy, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me again.
Where can we listen
and
to you?
Plug your... Yes.
I am on the Veronica Mars podcast, called Investigating Mars, and we are part of the Quadruple Z Network.
Lovely.
You can find us at www.quadruplez.com.
Yay. Again, thank you for joining us. Robin, we'll hear you on many other podcasts.
Introdex.com. Redemptioncast.blogspot.com.
I hope you enjoyed your time with us. It was a bit long, but we, you know, I was trying maybe something new.
That's what she said.
Well, until next time, goodbye.
Namaste. Good night, everybody.
Life at last, salutations from the other side. I can see that you're the devil's pride. Do you realize that all of you don't need some home for your hate? That was part of you. I'm your nightmares coming true. I am your crime. Life at last, sit and listen while the fun begins. Hearts are broken and the bad guys win. Sit and listen, all the cutting off is easy and the ceiling for a queasy or a weaker heart.
For those of you joining us, I know that we have 15 viewers now. Don't worry, I just have tea tree oil on my face because of zits.
No, tell them the truth. You're being captured for a game based on your character on Potential Cast.
This is true. I'm doing some live video capture for the Xbox One version of the Potential Cast home game.
There's no time for us. There's no place for us. What is this thing that builds our dreams yet slips away from us? There's no chance for us.